I want you to consider some things this morning. Abraham probably lived 30 years, somewhere between 20 and 30 years, with a promise God had made him. And he had lived so long with that promise that he pushed it aside. Now stop and think for a moment. How many of you have lived with a promise God has made to you, maybe when you were a child? Maybe when something was happening in your life that was contrary to what God wanted to do. But God spoke to you, and he gave you a promise. And maybe even you've pushed it aside because you've been hurt so much by not seeing it fulfilled, or you doubted so much not seeing the thing happen that it's just gone. Well, we know that Abraham had the promise. And so what happened is he tried to fulfill the promise on his own. Now at the end of this promise, God comes back to him. I want to read you what God and Abraham's conversation was in verse number 15. Keep in mind, Abraham had a son by the name of Ishmael, but he wasn't the son that God had promised to him, because God had promised Sarah would have a baby. We okay? Verse 15 of chapter 17 of the book of Genesis. And God said to Abraham, "As for Sarah your wife, you shall not call her name Sarai, but Sarah shall be her name. As for Sarai your wife, and I will bless her and also give you a son by her. Then I will bless her, and she shall be a mother of nations. Kings of people shall be from her." Then Abraham fell on his face and laughed. Didn't seem like something you should do in the presence of God, does it? A little out of the ordinary. And said in his heart, "Shall a child be born to a man who is 100 years old? And shall Sarah, who is 90 years old, bear a child?" And Abraham said to God, now Abraham is talking to God, "Oh, that Ishmael might live before you." Then God said, "No, Sarah, your wife, shall bear you a son, and you shall call his name Isaac, and I will establish my covenant with him for an everlasting covenant and with his descendants after him." Keep in mind, God doesn't forget his promises to us. Skip down to chapter 18, or skip over. Verse number 9, and God is sending some angels or whoever, I believe, kind of like Jesus. And they said to him, "Where is Sarah your wife?" So he said, "Here in the tent." And he said, capital H, okay, got that? He said, "I will certainly return to you according to the time of your life, and behold, Sarah your wife shall have a son." And Sarah was listening in the tent door, which was behind. Now Abraham and Sarah were old, well advanced in age, and Sarah had passed the age of childbearing. Therefore Sarah laughed within herself, saying, "After I have grown old, shall I have pleasure, my Lord being old also?" And the Lord said to Abraham, "Why did Sarah laugh, saying, 'Shall I surely bear a child since I am old?'" And then he asked a question. How about this question to us today? Is anything too hard for God? How many of us at times have looked at things, planned things, organized things, did things, because either we think God had bailed out of it, or because we thought we could help him do it? What God has promised to us through his word, and what he has promised personally to us is still in effect. And it's kind of interesting when you think about it that Abraham and Sarah both laughed. But you know something? And we'll show you in a minute. When you get the New Testament, it doesn't mention that. Go with me to Romans chapter 4. Romans chapter 4. Verse number 16. Therefore, it is of faith that it might be according to grace, so that the promise might be sure to all seed, not only to those who are of the law, but also to those who are of faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. Understand something quickly. Abraham was never under the law. Understand? Where'd the law come? Who did the law pass through? Moses. Abraham was before Moses, so possibly Abraham was under grace. You can consider that. He wasn't bound by a legal code. Now God is speaking, as is written, I've made you a father of many nations in the presence of him whom he believed, God who gives life to the dead and calls those things which do not exist as though they did. God who gives life to the dead. How many of us just read that Abraham and Sarah's bodies were dead? God made their bodies alive so they could have a child, and through that child fulfilled a promise. And can I tell you something? Abraham never stopped having children. He had a pile. Go back and read. When his body was made alive, he continued to have children, and when Sarah died, he took another wife. God does not call the things that are as though they were not. He calls the things that are not as though they were.
That's right, amen.
So when we have a problem, when we have a need contrary to what some people may say, it tell it to God.
That's right.
You don't come up front after church with the healing teams and they ask you what's wrong. You say nothing. You just want to go for a walk. So if you have a need, tell God. If you need freedom, if you need deliverance, if you need salvation, if you need healing, if you need prosperity, if you need a touch of God in your life, don't worry about it. God calls the things that are as though they were, but he calls the things that are not as though they are too. What I got a kick out of, I came here for a while last night and yesterday morning. What I got a kick out of is that Abraham in verse 18, who contrary to hope, in hopes believed. Contrary to hope or against hope, he believed. Baloney, he believed. He laughed. Can I tell you something? Here's a principle. You may doubt when God tells you something, but when you start believing what God has told you, he forgets about the doubt. Man, you miss a great place to shout and do a little dance and jump up and down. You won't find in the Hall of Fame in Hebrews 11 that Abraham doubted. There are times when God speaks, we can't get a hold of it. Do you know why? Because we're thinking with our minds instead of our spirit. Our minds will doubt, but our spirit will believe, and it will happen. But Abraham and Sarah both laughed. It doesn't say here, after Abraham was done laughing, his faith was built. Doesn't say that. You know what I believe? I believe in my life that at times I can't grasp hold of what God is doing. And I don't see everything that He wants to do because I haven't grasped it yet. I know that's not for you folks. You're great people of faith. But God promises something to us. Abraham was 100 years old. And so you come to a place where Abraham is 100 and Sarah is 90 and they have a child. Why did they have that? Because God promised them. His hope was nourished by the faith that God had finally got into him to accept and believe the promised child. What doubt and what hope is God nourishing to bring to faith and bring to expectation that God has promised you, that you're looking at, that has not been fulfilled, and you kind of put it on the back burner, you're not looking at it, but it's a reality of what God is saying. I was talking with a man this week. We were sitting out here. This man's wife had passed away, still doing ministry. He was just talking. Finally, I looked at him and I said, "You know something? I don't want to die with my music still in me." And he looked and said, "What do you mean?" I said, "I don't want to die with God's plans unfulfilled that He wants to do in my life." You see, God has only one retirement plan. It's out of this world. And God has placed in you music. That's music in His ears. It's things that He's called you to do that glorifies Him. It's things that He's placed within you. And He's called us to do it. And sometimes we look ourselves in the mirror and we say, "How in the world can that happen? I can't do it." That's what God's waiting for you to say. So that you do it. You come to a place of seeing what God has called you to do and you put it together with Him.
That's right.
And we don't step out in front of it. We don't run ahead of Him. We walk beside Him and He walks beside us. Right. Verse 19, and not being weak in his faith, he did not consider his own body already dead since he was about 100 years old and the deadness of Sarah's womb. And he didn't waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God. It's all after. After waiting for all the years, after going through a passage where he laughed, he comes to a place of accepting it, and God fulfilled the promise. You've been called by God for some purpose. And you may look at that purpose and say, "Well, I don't want to do it, or I can't do it, or I'm not comfortable doing it," or all kinds of things. But everyone here has been called for a purpose. Some of your purposes seem way out of reach.
How many people argued with God? Gideon said, "We're the smallest tribe, and I'm the least in my master's house." Saul said, "We're the smallest tribe, and I'm the least in my master's house." Do you know what Saul was doing when he got anointed to be king? He was chasing donkeys. It's like herding a pack of cats. And Samuel came and anointed him king, and he went down to the prophets and he began to prophesy. The donkey chaser. Where we come to a place is just believing what God is saying. God speaks to everyone here. The question is, do we pay attention? Verse 21 says, "And being fully convinced that what he had promised he was also able to perform, and therefore it was accounted to him for righteousness, and not to him only, but unto all of us." Your response to God's word coming to you is credited to you and me for righteousness. And we walk that out. Verse 24, it says, "But also for us it shall be credited to us who believe in him who raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, and who was delivered because of our offenses and was raised because of our justification." Look at me. We must make the Word of God personal to us. We miss so much from God when we hear God talking to people in the New Testament, and we're seeing what God is doing through them, and we credit that to that group of people. It's like the Holy Spirit. "This promise is unto you and your children and those who are far off, and as many as our Lord God shall call." Well, we look at that as, well, it's just for the book of Acts. No! He says to all who are afar off, that was the Gentiles. They weren't in yet. Or Jesus looking at the Jews in John 17 says something that we miss. And he says, "I have people in another fold." What's that talking about? It's talking about you and me. We're not in the Jewish clan. We're in a Gentile clan. Even though the Bible says he is not a Jew who is one outwardly, but he is a Jew who has circumcision of the heart. But God has brought us in. We're no longer strangers and foreigners. We're no longer without hope and without God in this world. And God speaks to us. God speaks to us. I want us to get back to hope. Many people in this congregation has gone through some difficult times. And in those difficult times, the enemy wants us to lose hope. He wants us to come to a place where we're not believing. Turn with me to Romans 15. Romans 15, verse number 1.
We then who are strong ought to bear with the scruples of the weak and not to please ourselves. Let each of us please his neighbor for his good leading to edification. For even Christ did not please himself, as written, the reproaches of those who reproached you fell on me. For whatever things were written before were written for our learning, that through the patience and comfort of the Scriptures we might have hope. Through the endurance and through the comfort of the Scriptures we might have hope. Now listen to this. Now may the God of patience and comfort grant you to be like-minded toward one another according to Christ Jesus, that you may with one mind and one mouth glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, receive one another just as Christ received us to the glory of God. Interesting. That through the endurance and comfort of the Scriptures, you might have hope. It's time that we all do something together. It's time that we define ourselves as God defines us. You may have a miserable life. You may have almost everything that you touched go wrong. You may be lonely and empty and frustrated and wondering, where do I go? Who do I turn to? That through endurance and comfort, you may have hope. Expectation of something good. And through that all, verse number 7, therefore, receive one another just as Christ also received us to the glory of God. Kirk and I were talking, must have been Friday morning. I haven't got a chance to watch it yet, but I want to. Bill Johnson, a pastor at Bethel in California, was talking about how do we receive people? But how do we treat people? Or how do you treat people that just kind of mocks your God and makes fun of everything you believe? And Kirk said, Bill Johnson, just in a moment said, just hit me, and I put it on Facebook yesterday, but you treat him as Jesus did. You treat him as Jesus did. No matter who walks in here, no matter who comes, they're welcome. They're loved. They're accepted. It's not an issue. Why? Because it wasn't an issue with Jesus. And so through that hope, we grant friendship. We grant honor. We grant respect to whoever walks through that door. Kind of interesting. Go with me to 1 John 3. Beloved, behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us that we should be called the children of God. Therefore, the world does not know us because it did not know him. Beloved, now we are the children of God, but it does not yet appear what we shall be. But we know when he appears, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And everyone who has this hope, everyone who has this hope, purifies himself just as he is pure. What is that hope? What is that expectation? That expectation is someday that we're going to be like Jesus. We're looking forward.
But if you're not looking forward, you're looking backwards. Mm-hmm. We're looking ahead. It's like the big windshield and the rearview mirror. You have a small rearview mirror so you can see behind you, but you have a great big windshield so you can see ahead of you.
Amen.
The past is meaningless.
That's right.
If we're basing our life today on Christ and the hope that He gives to us, the expectation of something good, the expectation I'm walking with the Lord, I'm living for Jesus, I'm a child of God, I have no history.
Amen.
I have no past. The Bible says if anyone's in Christ, they're a new creation. Old things do what? Pass away. We got to open our hands and let it go. You're not what you used to be. You have been redeemed. You've been cleansed. You have been chosen. You've been anointed. You've been changed. You're a new creation in Christ Jesus. You have something to shout about, and you have something to live for.
Amen.
And it's glorious. I looked at that verse. And everyone who has this hope in Him. Now, in the NIV, the H is small in the one I have, in my preaching Bible from last week. But in my New King James, it's capitalized. So the New King James says, everyone who has this hope in Him, in Christ, purifies himself. Why do we do that? Because we're becoming like Him. And that hope and that expectation of Him changing us and bringing us to where we need to be and working in our lives motivates us to walk in His Spirit. But when we have that hope in us, if you want to use the small h, we live that hope out through us, and that expectation purifies us because we're always expecting something from God. How many of you are expecting something from God? How many of us? I got to close. I'm having fun today. Ephesians 2. Isn't church fun?
Amen.
Especially when we get donuts. Ephesians 2:12. Let's go to verse 11. Let's start at verse 11. How many have it? Got it on the board? Cool. Therefore, remember that you, or us, once Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by what is called the circumcision made in the flesh by hands, that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. Remember, talking to the church at Ephesus. No God equals no hope.
That's right. That's right.
Can you imagine living in the world today, in this world, in this nation, with $20 trillion deficit, with ISIS, with random shootings, with everything going on, without Christ and without hope? Put that in your computer. They may take my life, but they can never take my hope.
Right.
Now abideth what? Faith, hope, and charity. These three. But the greatest of these is, you'll always have hope. You'll always have expectation. There'll always be faith, and there'll always be love. But people without Christ are without hope.
That's right.
They can't put their finger on why they want to live, except I want to make more money, or I want to go to the top of the ladder, or I want a different job, or I want to see my grandkids. And we all want to see our grandkids. Hope. Are we living in hope? Let me show you one more. Can I show you one more?
Yes.
You've read it. It's in Hebrews chapter 6, and this hit me. Hebrews chapter 6. Verse number 19. Hebrews 6, 19. How many have ever been in a boat? How many of you ever had an anchor in a boat? Which way did the anchor go?
Down.
Down. Let me tell you something. There's an anchor that goes up. Now, don't go on your boat and pick up that 30-pound anchor or 40-pound anchor and try to throw it up to heaven. You get conked on the head. Okay? This hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which enters the presence behind the veil. There's an anchor that's anchored in heaven that makes us steadfast, that makes us secure. That anchor is called hope. The anchor for a boat is to keep you in one place. But I always anchor where the fish aren't biting. Just have that knack. Anchors down, no fish. So take the anchor of hope, let it ascend to where God is, and where God is, there's amazing hope. And hope is not wishful thinking. It's expectation of something good. And God is good.
Amen.
The goodness of God leads us to repentance. So anchor that anchor in the glory of God. Behind the veil. Where there's security and there's peace and there's victory and there's overcoming. Be anchored there, steadfast. I want to tell you something, and I'm done. Times of despair or discouragement or depression or frustration, or like Kirk said, fear or anxiety are not places you want to live.
That's right.
We go through all kinds of things. And some of those things aren't even Satan doing it to us. Some of those things are just because we're in a world that's sinful and we're human. Okay? There are times bodies wear out. Now God's in the restoring business. Jason worked on our old 64 and a half Mustang. Then he put it on a trailer for somebody and they took it to Texas. Can you imagine Jason doing that? But Judy bought that Mustang new in 1964 and three quarters, I guess, when they came out. But the Mustang did not look like it did when it came off the showroom floor. How many understand that? The Bible says, though the flesh is dying, the spirit is renewed day by day. We may go through physical problems. We may go through issues, or we may not. But the key is, whatever you're going through, have the hope in Jesus Christ that you're not defeated, that you're not overcome, that you're more than a conqueror, that you're a victor, and we're not victims, and we're succeeding with whatever we're going through because of Jesus.
Amen.
There are times when you can't look at the circumstances and you can't trust your emotions. There are times all that you have is trusting and putting your hope and your faith and your victory in God and saying, I'm going through this. I'm not giving up. I'm not thinking God failed me. I'm not looking at a lot of stuff. And we need to go through that, because there are times that people who are going through weakness need the encouragement just to say, you didn't do anything wrong. It's just part of life. And that's hard. So we have hope. We have an overwhelming confidence in God that He's taking care of us. No matter what. I'm going to have a camera on you next week. Love this couple. And so as we leave, always be prepared to give an answer for the hope that lies within you. And it's simple. His name is Jesus. No matter what you face, no matter what the enemy is telling you, no matter what your mind is saying, God is greater.
Amen.
And God of hope will fill you with joy and peace in believing. Amen. Amen.